Okay, quick side note. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm working on my self-discipline with my self-care, and it's a journey, but I am making some progress thanks to this tool. So I've been using my Loombox red light therapy before bed, and I'm honestly loving it. It's one of those things I didn't fully understand at first, but now I'm reaching for it without thinking. So I could be that annoying person that lists out all the thousands of studies about red light therapy, but instead I'm just going to tell you why I'm personally using it. So I'm using it to help with my inflammation because unfortunately I have a lot of it. I'm also using it for cell regeneration for my skin. I'm using it to help regrow my hair. I've even used it on my kids when viruses are going through our house. So as a mom of four and a business owner, the relaxation I'm experiencing before bed is honestly life-changing. And so if you're curious about red light therapy and want to give it a try, you can actually take $260 off with my link in the show notes. So go check it out. Hey everybody, welcome to the Caitlin James Podcast. This is a place where we like to empower all types of business owners to build profitable and purposeful businesses while also letting you in on the ins and outs of our everyday life. I'm excited because this episode, I'm trying something new, all right? It's going to be a little different. The format's a little bit different, and let me explain why. So the podcast for me, if I want to share anything just about life and what's happening for us and the stories and projects and things we're learning in marriage and in business and in parenting, this is just the place that feels like the most natural fit to share. YouTube is more photography tips and tricks and technical things. The blog is kind of a hodgepodge of highlighting everywhere else that we're putting content. It goes back to the blog and where we show off our clients. And the podcast is where I get to be a little bit more personal in a longer format than just on Insta stories. So if you follow me on Instagram, if you see me post on stories, that's fun for me. I'll just sit down and I'll have a nursing session with Miles and I'll share something. And, but that's like, 30 seconds and it's gone in 24 hours. So what I kind of view the podcast as, and what I want to try out today is, what if I took the pieces of my life that people are always engaging with on Instagram stories, and I kind of created a space where I could, download and share more about the parts of our life that people love seeing behind the scenes, more of like a holistic picture of our life than just the photography educator or just the wedding photographer, but the business owner and the wife and the mom that kind of, paints a better picture of who I truly am. So I'm excited. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive in and almost give you kind of like a state of the union, like this is what's happening. These are the projects in our life. These are the things I'm learning. This is what I feel like God's showing me. This is what's happening at Acton, which is our school, an entrepreneurial based school for K through 12 that we just started recently in our community for our 6-year-olds, mine and my sister and brother-in-law. They have a 6-year-old as well, and we started it together. I'm going to talk about all the things. Okay, so this is going to be my goal for this. Is to feel even more conversational, more real life, to be able to share like I used to on my blog, which was truly, it used to be the only way that I could share my life. And honestly, I feel like, maybe approaching some episodes where it's not like one title and one topic for 40 minutes, but instead it's kind of like a stream of consciousness type of sharing. I think that is almost a little more conducive to being inspired, especially in the season of life that I'm in. So for those of you who are brand new and you're thinking, what in the world am I listening to? Let me explain. I'm a mom and I'm a wedding photographer turned photography educator turned online business success story. We run a multi 7-figure business out of our home, and we work pretty busy weeks. We put a lot of work hours in, but we have so much freedom in our life. I was recently featured on CNBC talking about a little bit of the story. Now, they didn't paint a full picture of the story, but basically what I have done is I've created a business and I've created income streams and a profitable reality for our family and my extended family, because I basically hired my whole family through sharing what I know. And there's an entire industry out there where people are extremely successful sharing what they know. What I want to do here is I want to kind of paint a picture of personal life, business life, combined, and hope that in sharing some of what we are experiencing, it inspires other people. I love following people on Instagram that will share and let me see a peek into their reality, and I'm inspired by them and I learn things from them. So let's give you some updates. Let's start with the wedding photography business. The wedding photography business, I shoot like, I think 4 or 5 weddings this year. I have 2 done already. I just did 1 2 weeks ago. And you're going to find out pretty soon that there was a crazy story that happened when I shot my first wedding of the year in Scotland. We took a 5-week-old baby over to Scotland. That was a whole story in and of itself, but I won't go deep into that. Just know this, if you're trying to photograph a wedding internationally and you're also going to have a home birth 5 weeks before you fly over there, maybe make sure you know you can get your birth certificate and your passport in time for your child, because that, man, that was stressful. So we go over there, realize Michael forgot the flashes. I don't blame him. We had a lot going on. It was super stressful. Forgot my flashes, decided to spend $1,000 with FedEx to overnight them basically to the UK, and they didn't make it in time. So I had to depend on one of my students, one of my KJ students in Scotland, in the right city. I mean, it was a miracle. Her name's Donna. She has 3 daughters. She's amazing. I went to her house after talking on Instagram, went to her house, picked up the flashes, and they were Godox flashes, which I've never used before. They were amazing. They were just awesome. I loved them. I even thought their responsiveness and how fast they recycle, it was faster than my Canons, and they're 3 times cheaper. So I switched. I just shot my first wedding with a totally different flash system. I have already done a review. It's going to be on YouTube in a couple of weeks. But that's an update that was crazy for me. But it's, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, everyone has things that happen. You're like, Caitlin, there's just no purpose. This just stinks. You know, things that happen in your life. Like for me, I ran my second to last toe into the side of an armchair in our near our kitchen and completely broke my toe. What's the purpose in that? What's the silver lining in that? I have no idea. It seems just like a pain in my side, or should I say my foot? And so I get it. There's some things it's hard to see the purpose. But the flashes, losing our flashes, spending $1,000. I mean, gosh, that's just pain. It's painful to even say it. Why did that happen to us? I can't give you a full answer, but I will say this. It was eye-opening for me and powerful for me to walk into the home of a student across the Atlantic Ocean in a beautiful, quaint little town in Scotland and realize that all 3 of her daughters know my name and my voice and have listened to me, and she's learning from me, and I'm helping someone in a completely different part of the world. Like, you hear that. I know that. I have, you know, people who will email me from, you know, they're in Nigeria, they're in South Africa, they're in, we have a lot of people that follow us in Australia. But it's just different when you actually see someone in their life and realize, gosh, I get to be a part of their life. It's just amazing. I will never get over that. Also, it led me to, I think, a better gear decision with my flashes. So be on the lookout for that. That episode is coming to YouTube in the next month or so. Something else happening in business. We did a big sale recently. It was great. People were super excited. It blows my mind. It just blows my mind. The lighting and location course will forever be a fan favorite. Like, it is what people talk about over everything else. I feel like if my products on my website had personalities, they'd be really, every single one of them would hate lighting and location, because lighting and location is definitely everyone's favorite course. It's like everyone's go-to. Everyone talks about it first. Everyone feels like it's helped them the most. So that was our front runner. But the exciting thing about that sale was that we introduced Canva templates for people that want to share their work on Insta stories more professionally. Now, you could use them for Reels. It's probably not going to perform super well, because Reels do better with like real life content, but sold these Canva templates. I designed them. I had a blast doing it, and people seem to love them. So that was a huge win. If you want more information about those, they're still available. They're just not discounted because the sale has ended, but they are super affordable. I actually have a friend who sells Canva templates, and she sells 50 of them for $150, and mine are like, I don't know, $39, $49. So I realize I underpriced myself a little bit there, but it's to your advantage. So maybe grab them before the price may increase with an update in the future. But that was fun. So those are some business updates. I'm doing some new content for All Access. Our All Access community kind of has this new feature in All Access 2.0 where there's a community back end, and I just love seeing people share and connect there. But I'm also trying to share some content here and there that as it comes to me. So I was responding to an email this week. The theme of this person's problem was they're 5 years in. This is a photographer, wedding photographer. She's second shooting, and she really just dove into second shooting first when she first started her business. And after going back and forth a little bit, I realized I think part of her problem may be she didn't stay in the shooting for free or shooting for next to nothing, doing anything to get the portfolio built and your name out there, creating an experience. That first year or so, or maybe even for some people, it's only 6 months, but doing the work of the hard hustle at the beginning and not just diving into working for someone else, it's actually super important. And I wanted to encourage beginners that if they're in that season is a non-negotiable. You have to have that season. It is not a waste. It feels like a waste because every time you show up and you shoot for next to nothing, when you're first getting started, you're like, am I even a real photographer? You are, but you're paying your dues and it's going to serve you well. And this person needed more of that on the front end. Instead, she's been second shooting for 5 years and never did enough, even if they're free, never did enough sessions to call her own. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because I recorded a video. It was basically what I just said. And I shared it within our community to encourage beginners. And I'm excited to be able to do more of that in our community because that's the vision I have, to be able to brain dump into our core students that are constantly investing every single month and want to grow their business. So that's a business update. Let's talk about Acton. All right. If you don't know what Acton is, Acton Academy is a network of schools around the world that are entrepreneurially based in a lot of ways. Huge emphasis on personal freedom, self-responsibility, and students, learners being self-directed. So that means that my daughter goes to school and she has her own goals that she's made for herself. And she has a running partner, another learner in the studio that they hold each other accountable and they work at their own pace. So, we don't talk about grade levels because the school doesn't have grades. It's a mixed age classroom, kind of like the one room schoolhouse feel. And so anyway, but she's 6 years old and she's reading at a second grade level. Just amazing. And she taught herself. That's what's insane, is the girl taught herself how to read through online programs and some Montessori programs. And because she's wired to just go for it, she's gone for it, and there's other students in the studio that the beginning of the year were not interested in the slightest at core skill time, which is reading, writing, math. And instead of shaming them and telling them they're slow and they're behind and they're definitely not gifted, all the labels you get in public school, they were allowed to do things like brain builders. And they were allowed to do problems like Canoodle. I think it's like a brain matching sorting game. They do other things to stimulate their brain and get them excited, but they're not shamed about the fact that they're not engaged with reading. Well, this all seemed like a big experiment this year, right? Because we've never done this before. We see it happening well around the country. All these students finding their passion, engaged in learning and not hating it, loving school life, and really being pushed and driven, but not by a set of like, get a good test score, but be a good person, develop good character. Let's figure out how to be a child that can look at an adult and shake their hand and have a conversation with them. Like that, things that actually will serve you well when you're an adult. Anyway, so we see all this happening. We're just praying like, oh goodness, let this work for us. Like these learners that are wired differently, which I fully believe our boys are not wired like their sister. They're going to be very similar to some of our other learners in the studio. Watching them and thinking to ourselves, I wonder what's going to happen because we're really having to trust the system. And when I say system, the process of what Acton stands on, which is Socratic-based learning, self-directed learning. I kid you not, almost every single learner that seemed aloof to like, I don't want to do core skills, they love it now. like turned massive corners on their own. That I have chills just talking about it. That is what is so empowering about this model, is that you allow children to learn at their own pace and be engaged at their own pace. These children are going to learn to read and write and do math, right? They are, but they've got to be able to do it in a way where they stay engaged and motivated and excited and on their own terms, instead of forcing a set of curriculum and wanting every student to respond to it exactly the same way when they're different people. So we have seen that happen more so in the last few weeks than ever before. It's just amazing. We had their final exhibition yesterday, and this was so cool. They had the idea of doing it in a press conference style. So all the parents showed up, and there was this long table with chairs on the backside, and all the learners sat down and had a big black microphone that they passed down the line. And all the parents had like press badges, and they would wave their press badge in the air. And the learner, whoever's turn it was, would call and take questions from, you know, the reporters in the audience. And it was so cool. One, because we watched all these learners, the beginning of school, they couldn't have done this, right? It's intimidating to talk in front of 20 plus parents in a large group setting when you're 5 years old. But they all did it. They all showed up. And it was just amazing. I mean, one learner said, someone stood up and they're like, oh, you know, let's just use a random name, but like Erica's mom. And they asked the question, who is your hero? And he looked around the room and locked eyes with his dad. And he goes, my dad's my hero. Oh my gosh. I'm like sobbing in the back. So anyway, the Acton update is just, we wrapped up Michael. I literally hear him walking around upstairs. He's home for summer. This was our last day, was today. And I just can't believe that we did it. We started a school. Like, what? We started a school, and it has been just the greatest gift. If you don't follow Acton Academy West End on Instagram, I've run that Instagram account, and I apply a lot of strategies that have worked really well for our business in KJP to this account. So just running it with personal connection, with a voice of a real person, not of like a, you know, an organization. And, building community and letting the Instagram world see the community that we're building, and it's working. We actually had the founders of Acton Academy. They are super successful entrepreneurs that basically started this entire Acton network. The husband, Jeff Sanifer, was actually just featured on a podcast interview with Jordan Peterson, which was wildly successful for the network. It was awesome. And they came to visit us, which just blows my mind. Why did they visit us? I don't know. Like, we have 12 learners. There are other Actons that have like 150 and have mega campuses. And we're in this tiny, cute, quaint little campus outside of Richmond. And they came to visit us. And it was so awesome to be able to talk through with them how our marketing is working and how the marketing that I've used in my online business and wedding photography business, taking that same model and using it for Acton. They were just blown away by that, because it is a different approach, right? We're not going to 100 coffees with parents in the area and trying to convince them that Acton is the right fit for them. Honestly, if you're a parent where it's a good fit, you already know it's a good fit. But we're not having to do that type of marketing, because we're doing it differently. So from a business perspective, it was awesome to see that they noticed that we're growing our school in a unique way. So we're going away this weekend to celebrate just the fact that we built a school, and that it has been a huge success, not just with the learners, but for our own family. For Michael, he's just killing it in his role as like head of school. And we're excited for next year. We're hiring 2 more staff members and doubling in size, which is crazy. All right. So what else is happening? Let's talk about marriage. Just got back from a marriage retreat this past weekend. And let me tell you, trying to get childcare for 3-4-ish kids, Miles went with me. That's why I say ish. But we had to have childcare for him there. It's super hard. We had so many red flags. Like, there's so many reasons that we almost backed out. We're like, we can't do this. I'm so glad we did. Michael and I have been doing marriage coaching for 5-6 years, and it's transformational. And yet we will never arrive. Right. It's a really great business model for our coach because she knows the human condition is that we're never going to arrive at perfect relationships. We just get constantly invited to more and more opportunities to go deeper. For Michael and I, one of the breakthroughs that we had, and honestly, the retreat is called Breakthrough. We're going to go back in April. Julia Woods with Beautiful Outcome is who, she's our coach and dear friend. She is who hosts this, and she is truly in her element. I mean, I can't even describe how powerful it is to see her do her work in this setting with couples. But we were small group leaders, had an amazing small group. I miss those other two couples dearly. They were so fun to connect with. But Michael and I, we wanted to break through. So you go into the retreat with something, a tension in your marriage that you want to break through. And for Michael and I, we struggled for the longest time. Like, what is ours going to be? Now, that's not because we can't figure one out because we don't have any. It's because we have too many. If we're being honest, we got a lot of tensions. So, but we realize one tension in our relationship is that our superpower as a couple is connection with people. And I'm not saying that in a braggy way, but like, I just know that, you know, if Michael and I walk into a room, we can find a way to talk and connect to anyone in there. And that is something that is not unique to me. It's unique. It's both of us are good at that. And I think if you know us and you've been around us, like, it's pretty obvious that that's not something that scares us. It's a strength. But connecting and talking to one another a lot of times is not a strength for us. And why is that? What causes that? What roadblock is there between us to where like our conversations can't flow as naturally as they do with other people that we're not married to? That was such a powerful thing to spend intentional time working through. And we've realized a lot of things. One, you know, we've built up these stories between us that Michael thinks he can never be good enough. I believe that he's not interested. And so then when we try to have conversations, the slightest little thing can just blow up because he's coming into the conversation thinking he's just not going to, you know, he's not good enough. I'm never going to be happy enough with him. And I'm coming into the conversation thinking he doesn't even want to have a conversation. He's annoyed that I want to have a conversation. Like, he's not going to be into this. So when you come into a conversation like that, you have to think through, and this is what I wanted to kind of, I'll spend a few minutes talking about this as kind of like the highlight of the episode, but whenever we open our mouth, there is an aim. We're aiming at something. So we're trying to cause something with the language and what we're doing with our words. And it's hard to explain this. It's hard to break down without showing you some illustrations. But basically, I'll paint you a picture. So the other day, we were, there's actually several examples. Michael and I were in the car. I was on my phone. I'm the one that's constantly like, hey, let's put our phone down and be more present with the kids. And I'm normally saying it to him because we don't have our phones all the time, but I'm weirdly obsessed with trying to make sure we have more screen-free time in our home. So I'm constantly kind of nagging Michael like, let's put that away. And that's super annoying to him. So then we're in the car and the kids are talking to us and I was responding to something on my phone. And Michael what did he say? He said something like, it was a little bit sarcastic, like, oh, so I can't be on my phone, but you have no problem being on yours. It's like, okay, what was your aim there, right? So his aim, we talked about it later, his aim was to make me feel bad. That's the reason he said it. It was not to make a request. It was not to hold me accountable. It wasn't the best aim, right? And I do that all the time. Like, I don't even have to say something. I can just look at him and he could figure out what my aim is. Like, I could just look at him across the room with a death stare if I think he should be off his phone. And he knows the aim of that communication is to make him feel bad and to get him to change. So doesn't it make sense why, if there's patterns like that in our life, why maybe some like everyday normal conversations can be hard for us to engage in with one another because our little interactions all have aims that aren't necessarily the healthiest. So a different aim in the car conversation could have been coming to me and saying, hey, could we maybe talk about what boundaries and expectations are with the screen stuff later? could we have a conversation about that? Because I have some thoughts. And I could say, oh, well, yeah, sure. And I'll put my phone down and maybe we start talking about it then. But then, but it's not an attack. And I wish, let me tell you, there's so, Michael, that's like the one example I can think of off the top of my head with Michael. My examples of when I do that to him, when my aim is poor, it's just numerous, like just so many examples. So we focused on that and it got me thinking, you know, I just did a business call with Business Collection and All Access Connection Call. I actually am looking at the recording on my computer right now. And it was so fascinating to think about the concept of what are we aiming at with our conversations? What are we aiming at with our words and our thoughts? And it's a problem in business, just like it's a problem in relationships. So what you're aiming towards, you could be really off target and not even know it, because our brains play a lot of tricks on us, right? That we think like, oh no, no, I'm trying to connect with, you know, this person. I'm trying to make connection, but really what you're aiming at is something totally different. Maybe it's a selfish thing. Maybe it's to make sure you fill a quota, but you're not really truly engaged in connection. This is endless, how many different ways this applies to life. But for me, I just realized like, wow, I first need to work on myself. That's a huge realization. If you've never done any type of work on your marriage, let me leave you with this last little piece of a nugget. This is just a nugget of encouragement. Try if you can, and this is going to be hard, stop worrying about your spouse or your partner, whoever you call them. Just stop worrying about them and focus on yourself. In coaching, we call it your backyard. Like, just stay in your backyard. My good friend and designer, actually, she spoke up at the retreat. She was there with her husband, Aaron, and she was just like, I'm just like the gopher. I just like to sneak under the fence right into his backyard and make sure, you know, he's showing up the way I think he should in our relationship. And just whenever we do that, we are self-sabotaging in a way, because you can't change anyone. You can try to. You can try to make them feel awful about themselves and maybe that'll change them. That's just going to create resentment and separation and distance and disconnection. If you truly want to see transformation happen in your marriage, it starts with you and you owning your contribution. And so that's what I am really focusing on coming back from the retreat, is what is my aim, right? Let me give you a good example. Last thing, I will sometimes, right, and I'm proud of myself. Okay. This is going to sound like I'm bragging. I'm not. Right after the retreat, the next morning, I thought I had my stuff together, but Graham was supposed to wear his preschool t-shirt to school for like a big picture day. And I woke Miles up and was going to feed him really quick and then get Graham's backpack ready. But Miles woke up with like eyes gunked shut from pink eye. That's a whole other story. And so getting his eyes clean, he was screaming. That took longer. So I'm nursing. And then I realized Uncle Jojo is here to pick up Graham and he doesn't have his stuff. So I'm running around the house nursing a baby trying to find this t-shirt. And we never found it. And I'm just, oh my gosh, I'm just a mess. And then I realize Rhett is late for swim. So I leave Miles with my mom, but Rhett has hidden my phone and I can't find my phone and I didn't charge my watch. So I can't ding my Apple Watch to find my phone because it's dead and we're already late. So I grab my mom's phone and say, I'm just going to take him. I have your phone. I don't know my mom's password. So I called 911 on my mom's phone, thinking that if I called 911, because that's the only way you can use your phone if it's locked, that it would unlock it. I would just hang up quick because I used it to call 911. And then I would get in the inside to text someone and be like, can someone let me know what Mimi's number is? That doesn't work. So I can save you from that embarrassment. I called 911, immediately hung up. And then as I'm frantically driving to swim, hoping someone in the family will call me so I can answer the phone and get it unlocked, 911 calls back. It's like, ma'am, is everything okay? I'm like, yes, everything's fine. Like sobbing. They're probably like, ma'am, are you sure? Yes, just had a hard day. And normally outside of being intentional about my aim, I would call Michael and be like, where's Graham's shirt? Like, where's his shirt? And he'll be like, whoa, I don't know, mama. Like, what is wrong? I'm like, what do you mean what is wrong? If I step back from what I normally would have done that, what is my aim in that? My aim is to make someone else feel my stress and for Michael to feel sorry for me because I'm stressed. Like, that's going to make me feel better. And I started thinking, has that ever made me feel better to make Michael duplicating my stress and pain onto him? Like, what if I just owned what was happening to me? Yeah, it was not pleasant, right? I made some poor decisions. It wasn't pleasant. But if I can just own it and then come to him later and be like, can I tell you how hard this day was? This day was, it was miserable. It started hard. It ended hard. And I'm just having a hard time. That would have been a connecting conversation if I'd come to him like that. But my pattern up until now has been to call him with questions or like, this is what is happening. Like, where is this? Like, you didn't do this. And he gets defensive. And then I wonder, well, why can't we have great conversation? Well, probably, Caitlin, because your aim has been off, just really off. And so anyway, my encouragement in that is that once you start becoming aware and you allow yourself to painfully recognize what your aim is in your relationship and your conversations, the accountability for the way you use your mouth really just hits a whole new level. You can't just spew words out and attitudes and think that they don't have an impact or weight. And so I am walking away from the retreat feeling like that was a big aha moment for us. And there's so much more, guys. I mean, we're talking 3 days worth of work that we poured into our marriage, but that's kind of a highlight. And I hope I was able to paint a little bit of a picture of what that looks like. So other updates, I ran my toe into a chair and it's broken, and I did a beautiful family session with a broken toe. I mean, I can't tell you, I love the images that I shot this past Wednesday. I love them so much that I'm like, maybe I should always have a broken toe. It's like good luck for me. I don't know, but love the session. It was for a past KJ couple family. I got to meet their boys. I just love it. It will be on All Access in the future. We have a garage being built. The shingles went on today. That's a whole nother story. There's nothing about it that is business related, except that we are now, this is business related. I asked my CPA, like, can I write off a concrete driveway if I'm using the white as a reflection for portraits? And she's like, that's a stretch. I'm like, okay. But I did have that thought. I'm like, I've been dreaming of a concrete driveway for the longest time because pea gravel would look more historic and classic and it would reflect light. But for our kids, for like rollerblading and riding bikes, it's so fun to have concrete. We grew up living in the parsonage next to the church where my dad worked. So we got to use the church parking lot. It was paved as if it was ours. So kind of had an asphalt backyard and it was amazing. So anyway, we are getting a concrete driveway and I am most excited about taking pictures of my kids on it. So the next thought is now I got to get some trees to line the driveway. So when the sun is setting, I've got some diffused light instead of open backlight. If you've been in the lighting location course, you know what I'm talking about. I need a little bit of a diffuser so that this secondary light, reflective light setup is going to work perfectly. So that's a little update on us. Michael and I are gearing up for Memorial Day weekend with our family at the lake. And then the next weekend, we are flying to Kansas for the Acton Owners Conference. And I'm so excited about that. So next time I do this, if you guys enjoy this, if this was helpful, I would love to do this again and give you another update and share what we're learning and how we're growing and tell you what that conference was like. It's basically it's my first conference for a business outside of the photography industry that I've ever been to. And I just cannot wait to see what it's like. I've been living in the bubble of photo world for 14 years. So I'm excited to dive in. Guys, thank you for watching. Thanks for watching this. I didn't film this because if you saw me right now, I have not showered. I am about to load up the whole family and go to the lake. I look like a hot mess. So sorry, there's no video because if you saw what it looked like, you'd be like, oh, poor Caitlin, she's really let herself go. So I am getting ready to leave the house. I wanted to do this before we left so that you guys had some good content and something new to listen to next week. And I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, that's fine. Respond to the email when we announce it or, you know, maybe just don't publicly say like, this was awful, but you could let me know somehow, maybe DM me on Instagram, be like, just go back to the old format. But, and we might, you know, for special situations, I'd love to go back to like really outlining one topic, but as a whole, it's fun for me to get to share my life, and it's opening up the door for you guys to be able to let me know what you're interested in. So out of all these updates that I shared about what is actively happening in our life as business owners, as leaders, as a married couple and parents of young kids, if there are things you're like, man, it would really help me if you would just go a little deeper on this or on this topic, or like, how are you handling that? Or how are you making this happen? How can I help you? So let me know, give me feedback. Thank you so much for listening, and I will connect with you guys next time.